Welcome to a weekly look at all things high school sports around the South Plains.
Powered by the Lubbock Avalanche Journal.
And usually joined by Ryan King, KLBK Sports Director. Ryan, it's crazy to think we're almost at the end of the season. Kind of, sort of. We're getting to the end of the big school's regular season. And we have quite a couple smaller schools that have their eyes set on Jerry World, getting down to the final, I guess, 4-8 teams or so. I think what makes this week so exciting is that we have three rematches. UIL and Taps actually got to talk to Coach Kevin Spiller there at Trinity Christian, who will be playing Lake Country for the second time this week. They take each other on in Abilene Christian University. Had a really good talk with him, by the way, about just how special that win over Pantego was this past weekend, a 14-13 victory. They won largely in part to obviously the missed extra point. And it was also the 2-year anniversary of his father's passing. And so that just made things even more special for him. But yeah, when you talk about, you know, coming in and really getting a program going, this is only his second year. And, you know, he starts off with the history of winning one playoff game, and now he has another, and, you know, he is looking for a third one there, maybe get this one back from Lake Country.
Beating Pantego, no matter what, that's impressive with just how good that team is.
Right.
But you're right, getting that, they had zero playoff wins 10 days ago all time. Now they have two in these first rounds, so that's really cool for them. And it really seems like they're a program that's flipped a switch, not just year to year. Like, it seems like during this season, they have significantly gotten better to get wins like that. And now, who knows what they're going to do against Arlington Grace. I mean, that, you know, it's, if they could pull that one off too, I mean, we're talking about something historic with what Trinity is doing when you look at past years of this year. But it is pretty crazy. Two private schools still playing, two public schools still playing, you know, obviously in the playoffs front, including 5A and 6A and whatnot.
Right.
The season's still going. But it is that time of the year where just everyone's getting whittled down. But it is exciting. I mean, I know we'll get to them, but Borden County, one game away from state. Post is two games away from state. We have these Taps teams that, and you can really argue Kingdom Prep and Trinity. We're used to Lubbock Christian doing this, but we have two private schools that are really putting Lubbock on the map as far as the Taps schools go. And it's a really cool time for West Texas high school football, not even including what Cooper and Coronado and teams like that can still do in the playoffs. But it's a really cool time right now.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think that, you know, despite the craziness and uncertainty of this season, it's still nice to, you know, safely play football and see these guys kind of go out there and compete and have some really special seasons, because Pantego was undefeated when Trinity Christian played them. You know, and Davis Reeves scored both touchdowns for the Lions to get that win. I talked to Coach Spiller, so please be sure to stick around for that second segment. I think everyone will really enjoy it. But they've had some new guys kind of step in as well and be contributors. And I think he said that there was an injury on the line to a left tackle, I want to say. So they had a new guy kind of stepping in and clearly do well at it. I mean, they thrive off of that run game. And then, like you mentioned, Kingdom Prep, they only have one loss, and their one loss was to Abilene Christian. So they get that rematch. And, you know, I'm sure that Coach Klein, we talked to him last week, will have those guys ready for that. I don't know too much about their history as far as how they've done in the playoffs, but I mean, even still, no matter what has happened in past years, it's still awesome to be able to, you know, get this deep in the playoffs for them.
I know this. I do not know their overall history. I do know since I have been here and the year or two previous to that, so over the last 4 to 5 years, I know they have not been this deep. I know when I first got here, they missed the playoffs. Then they missed the playoffs again. Then last year, they made it after a really good regular season, but I believe they lost in their first game. It may have been their second, but I believe it was their first. Either way, they weren't in the third round.
Right.
So I know this is unprecedented territory, at least in quite a few years, maybe all time for Kingdom Prep. And it really is cool to see, like, the amount of success that is, you know, you go to Dallas, you go to Houston, you have a lot of 6As, maybe some 5As that are, you know, very successful. Obviously, you have, like, Denton, if you, you know, count that in the Dallas area and whatnot. But to hear you still have And it sucks that we don't know at the big schools how deep they're going to go. But hypothetically, you could have state final or, you know, state semis, state quarters, whatever, for Cooper, Coronado. Those are 5A. You have Post on the 2A level. You have Bourne County on the six-man level. You have Kingdom Prep on the six-man taps level. Trinity on the 11-man taps level. It is really cool to see the history they're making. And Kingdom Prep, we've talked about this. I think both these programs, but specifically Kingdom Prep, this has been a long time coming. For about 3 years now, that team has been taking step after step every year, every week. You can see their growth. And it's really nice to see them getting rewarded. And, you know, last year was a bit of a downer because they had a really good season. But then in the postseason, that kind of puts a damper on the season when you don't have the success you want. But I think Kingdom Prep is legit. I expect them to do some damage, more than they've already done, honestly, in the playoffs. And it's just really cool to see Lubbock get represented in that way. And it's really good also to see hard work pay off. I know a lot of our programs work hard, but when you can see a program like that, Kingdom Prep, where, I mean, you could argue one of the toughest levels to win, you could argue would have to be tap six, man. I mean, you have smaller numbers than everybody. You are at the mercy of who's going to come to your school. You know, that's a tough combo to have. And to go from a team that is perennially missing the playoffs to a one-loss team that's in the third round within a 2 to 3 year span, that's really impressive. And I think it says a lot about the coaching and a lot about the kids that have been brought up in the system.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Coach Klein's, I think, fifth year. So you can just, like, see those progressions come for the team. And it, like you said, it's just cool to see our teams, you know, have that success and be able to make those strides. And so, you know, yeah, well, we keep – I think everybody plays – those two both play on Saturday. Kingdom Prep, yeah. Hermie Lee, and then Trinity will be at ACU, which as Coach Spiller mentioned, like I said, talk to him in the next segment. That's a pretty cool deal, you know, for those kids to be able to play at that field and that kind of atmosphere. And I'm sure they're going to, you know, have quite a few people there to support them. So actually Abilene Christian is going to be really busy this weekend. So I'll have one of our area teams in Post that'll be playing there on Friday night. They'll be taking on Cisco. I had a chance to watch Post take the field. Wasn't too much of a game after a certain point. That was a doubleheader with
after the ball was kicked off.
That was a doubleheader. They played the nightcap game when Lubbock Cooper played that earlier game, which we'll definitely be getting to shortly. You know, it was interesting because I saw on Twitter, Matt Stepp from Dave Campbell, Texas Football, said something about people picking Panhandle to come out of the region. And, like, I just tweeted this GIF that – and it is GIF, by the way – that of, like, a Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm sure all of our listeners watch that. And it was a couple of the wives are like, who said that? Who said that? Yes. So I just tweeted at Stepp, and I was like, who said that? Because I don't know who said that. I know there's a couple of people that picked Panhandle to win that game, which, I mean, okay. But the way that Post has been playing this season, I mean, it was just like – and that's the thing. People saw the 68 points, but you have to look at the 0 points. Panhandle came into the game averaging 57, 58 points a game. You know, and to hold them to zero – where they just could not get anything. Like I had tweeted out, they had 40 tackles for loss posted. I think Panhandle ended up with 1 yard total rushing. It was just, my goodness, a dominant performance. Isaiah Crawford, a sophomore, by the way, led them in tackles. So it just goes to what we've talked about before and that this Post team is even better than they were last year.
So I'll say a few things about what you just said. First of all, I go with GIF. That's what I'm going with because graphic is the first. I'm just throwing that up. Here's the second thing. We know our teams very well. Like, we know the Lubbock teams. We know the teams we cover. We don't know the Amarillo schools and the Abilene schools and these as well. So obviously, you could say Amarillo and Abilene, those, they don't know our teams as well. It's fair enough. Mm-hmm. You can look at the results. If you're not picking Post to at least get to the state semis, you're either, one, a contrarian, or number two, you just haven't done your research. Panhandle's a good team. There's a reason Post is ranked number 3. Look at what they've done. And this is why you can't just look at the results. Because Post might have won that game 68-0. They could have won that game 140-0 if they truly wanted to.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, Coach Michael Pittman over there, very classy, always nice when we come over there. Ashton was just, who had four touchdowns, was just running into guys in the third quarter. Like, it wasn't, I mean, they were still trying to move the chains, but you can kind of tell they eased up a little bit, which is admirable, because who wants to hang 100 on in 11-man football? Who wants to?
Personally, someone who loves this Post program and just everything they stand for, I'd personally love to see it, but I get when you are, yeah, like, if I was the coach, yes, don't, they should not do that. I would personally love to cover it and see it, but they should not do that.
No, but, okay, you can say that from a TV perspective. I have to write the scoring play. Okay, I don't need my box score longer than my recap and my gamer.
That is true. So it's, I think that's part of this. People were trying to find that new story. I think it was like, okay, you know, Panhandle's good. They're in the same realm. They're in the same league as Post. Let's see if they – here's the thing. They're not in the same league as Post. No shame in it. Post is different. Post was a great team last year. You mentioned it. They're even better this year. And literally – they were already, in my opinion, kind of easing up late in the first. If they wanted to score 120 or more, they could have done it. This team, I'm not going to say they're going to win the title. I know Shiner and Refurio are going to battle out in the East, and Post will have to beat that team. But at this point, you and I have talked about this all season. How good is Post? Are they as good as last year? Can they repeat what they did last year? And I was always saying state quarters should be a guarantee. State semis are a borderline guarantee.
Yeah.
And more than likely, you know, I was kind of iffy on this one. They probably need to make it to the state championship for it to not be a disappointment. I think now there's no debate. They have to make the championship for this to not be a disappointment. This team is too good. They are too talented. There is no one on this side of the state that is better than Post. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but there's no one on this side.
I might have something to say about that.
Would they have beaten Panhandle that way?
I don't know. Honestly, don't. No, I know. To be fair, though, I will say this. I expected Post to win and beat Panhandle.
Yes.
I was expecting Panhandle to score, though.
Exactly. And that's why
it was a shock to me, the fact that they were up 60-0 at halftime.
That's why I truly do not think, with how this defense is locking people down, the offense, they barely even passed the ball, and they can throw the ball. They even threw it, and they were this dominant. That's what's impressive to me.
I was going to say, I think that's the cool thing, is that I feel like Slayton has become a better passer this season. And maybe that's because, you know, last year it was kind of him and Tatum, and Tatum threw a little more than and Slayton did. So when they needed that, you know, that throwing threat, it would more often than not be Tatum. Slayton would throw, but this season him being, you know, the number one and only guy, you know, it's just showing that, that versatility in him. So, as far as Cisco goes, they are 10-3 right now. They have wins over Goldthwaite, I think that's how you pronounce it, San Saba, both of which are in their district. San Saba is actually a good win. They beat them 48-6. Beat Stanford in the first round, and then Olton 46-15 in the second round, and then beat a good Holly team 54-20, Holly being the team that took out Sundown. So, I mean, again, we said this about Panhandle, so who knows, but that should be a pretty competitive game as far as giving Post a challenge. We also said that last year when they played a really good West Texas team, and last year when they played a good San Saba team. So you just never know, honestly. You just really expect Post to win and be able to, like you said, get back to Jerry World.
I will say, as much as, I'm not going to say we're pulling for Post, trying to be journalists here, I do think Post is the best team on this side of the state. But having said that, Cisco has had a very tough playoff run. Like, when you actually look at the teams they've beaten, it's honestly pretty impressive to dominate Olden, to dominate Holly, and Holly had beaten Sundown, which is a good, like, I mean, these are good. This is a good Cisco team. I think it's, Post is the better team, but for a quarterfinals, this is probably about the matchup you would expect. Like, Post should win, but I thought it was always fair to say the first three rounds, Post is not really going to get much of a challenge. Like, they're going to walk through the first 2-3 rounds. Fair. About the quarters is when you start being like, okay, this is where you know, you really start to face. Yes, this is where you find out what they are. These next two rounds, they're going to have to earn getting to that, you know, state championship.
Yeah,
I expect them to. I do expect them to win this round in the state semis, but it's not going to be as much of a foregone. I don't know if you felt this, but I was stunned when I saw the amount of people that were picking Panhandle. I mean, yes, I agree with you. I didn't think it was going to be 60-0 at half, but I was thinking, man, they're at least going to win by 3 to 4 touchdowns. Like, I don't think it's much of a question that Post is the better team. I think Panhandle is good.
Yeah.
But Post, I just think, gets overlooked because not only are they the Lubbock teams which sometimes get overlooked, they're kind of away from Lubbock. So they're right. Even among Lubbock, they're kind of like, you know, out there like, oh, yeah, there's that Post team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that's fair. I've said all year, I think they're – I mean, the debate's up with Borden County, but of 11-man teams – I don't think there's really a debate. They're the best team we have. I mean, Coronado's great. Cooper is great. We have a lot of really good teams. I think Post is legitimately a great program. We expected them to have this year. What's crazy is they are surpassing our expectations, and our expectations were already very, very, very high for this program. So it's gonna be a tough game. You know, I agree. But this is where we're going to really find out what Post is. I think this round and next round is really going to tell us a lot about what that program is.
And that game against Cisco is originally scheduled to be at the Mustang Bowl in Sweetwater. They moved it to Abilene Christian University to accommodate more people, which I will say, shout out to the Post community. They show up for their team.
Yes, they do. They do.
I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody from the whole town was there at not Cowboy Stadium anymore, but at AT&T Stadium last year. Yeah. I think Post can't be more than what? 20,000 people.
I've looked this up. I don't even think it's that many, but I agree with you. It felt like the entire town of Post was transplanted into AT&T Stadium there in Arlington.
Yeah, they packed it out. So you can be guaranteed that they're going to pack up ACU as well. So that should be a good game. I'll actually be able to go to that one on Friday. I'm actually doing a lot of traveling this week because I'll be in Amarillo for the Tascosa game against Coronado, which we'll get to in a moment, but I want to touch on Borden County getting their rematch against Sterling City. Ended up losing that one by a score, just kind of late, and Sterling City's currently undefeated. But that was only one. It was the last time Borden County lost, and it was only one of their two losses, the other one being Westbrook in a season where Westbrook was at one point the number one ranked team. I believe Sterling City ended the year as the number one ranked team, and then Borden County was two. I know that I talked to him about it, and, you know, nobody really likes to use the word revenge right now. And I get it. It's the postseason, so anything can happen. But you figure they remember, you know, that game. They know what's at stake. They got a really good win over Happy, ended up mercy ruling them kind of midway through the fourth quarter. And the Happy team was a good team. Jameson, their running back for Happy, was a really talented player and ended up contributing to all of Happy scoring. But Ward County just has so many guys, you know, and they have so many guys to the point where some of their guys can kind of take off because other ones pick up for them. Like on Saturday, the main guys were Tommy Matt Kingston and Kai Edwards. But that's because Trey Edwards and Coach talked about it after the game. Trey Edwards kind of took a back seat for the good of the team and that kind of selflessness. And that's one of the things that Coach Richie has talked about for that team is that, you know, at any time, one guy doesn't mind not being, you know, the guy to show up in the stats. You know, he'll take a back seat if his teammates are willing to step up. Like, they'll do things for the team. And I think that's been a huge part of their success, other than, of course, the fact that they have a really talented senior class.
I think the thing with Borden County, while we were talking about Post, has been building to – this is their second great year. You know, they're building that program. Borden County has been a legit dynasty for well over a decade now.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. One of the biggest strengths has absolutely been Coach Rich. I know he said it to both of us. Like, he loves seeing those kids out there. He's like, you know, they were ball boys, you know, 5-10 years ago. You can see the ball boys now that will probably be out there winning district title after district title in like 8 years or whatever. But that's exactly right. You'll see one guy step up one game and get four touchdowns, you know, three sacks, whatever. Then the next game he's not there. It's because I don't think they spread the wealth around, but they do have different guys step up, and the rest of the team is fine with that. That's, they know, hey, if I buy into this team, my time will come. We're going to be playing in more games. We're going to be playing in meaningful playoff games. We're going to be playing in state titles, and my time is going to come. And would I rather get my stats and lose in the quarterfinals, mm-hmm. or we're all great, we build each other up, we ride the hot hand, and we go win a state championship? And I think Borden County has found that. And it helps when you have a coach like Coach Richie, that's been there for a long time. He knows what the culture is. It's his culture. He's yep. built that place. He is Borden County football. And you can just see the expectations and the unselfishness among those guys. And I agree with you. Yeah, you can have all the talent in the world. If your guys are not sacrificing for each other, playing for each other, et cetera, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And those teams are absolutely – those players are fighting for each other. They're playing for one another. And it's why, I mean, this game, the rematch with Sterling City, you know, while it's funny, it's probably the last team you'd want to face as far as getting to a state championship, because it's probably going to be your even tougher than the state championship game itself. Yeah. But I'm sure if you were to ask Borden County, they're not afraid of playing anybody. So I'm sure they would relish the opportunity of getting a rematch against Sterling City. And knocking them off to not even allow Sterling City to get into the championship game themselves. Plus, you and I talked about this. I remember in week 3 or 4, whatever it was, Sterling City was the better team.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them. They were no doubt the better team at the time. But even at the time we talked about it, if Borden County continued to get better and did what we thought they would,
yeah.
Do you like Sterling City's odds of having to beat Borden County twice? That's tough. Yeah, that is really tough.
Yeah, so – but the thing is, Sterling City's had a pretty tough road to get here, because they had to beat Westbrook to get to the state semifinal game. That district that they're in is not easy. So they're going to be better. I think they beat Rankin too, as a matter of fact. So they're going to be better this time around. Borden County's going to be better. And I just think it's going to be a really, really good game.
That game was, honestly, let's be honest, it was like a push. A 4-point game. On the road, like a 4-point loss on the road, you know, if there's one interception somewhere and Borden County wins it, you're probably feeling totally, you know, it's like, I think yeah. it's already a toss up, and now Borden County is going to play with that extra chip. I like their odds in the game. That's what I'm saying.
So, fun fact, I think I included it in my game room, which is available at lubbockonline.com. The coach or the offensive coordinator, his last name Ty Keith, I think it is. He actually coached at Happy the 2 times that Borden County played against Happy in the state semis, and Borden County beat him both times. He was the head coach at Happy there. He's now the OC at Sterling City, and they're facing off in the state semis. So if you believe in, like, juju or whatever, it might be good for Borden County, because they're experienced against the type of offense that he runs in the postseason. But, you know, definitely going to be one of those games to watch on Saturday, I want to say.
It's Saturday, yes, as well. That one's in Sweetwater. And yeah. Just doing my research now, Sterling City did beat Rankin. The final score was 100-88 on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. That was that, like, super high-scoring game, yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, so definitely looking to that one. Then one we definitely have to get to, which I think gave me gray hairs, Lubbock Cooper and Wichita Falls Rider did not disappoint at all. That rivalry.
We knew it wouldn't. We knew it wouldn't.
It just has become so fun. You know, and the funny thing is, we're looking at the score, you know, Rider's up 24-7 at halftime. We're kind of thinking, okay, this is not – what I was expecting. I know Lubbock Cooper's offense has struggled at times, but I was not expecting Ryder to hold them. I was expecting a closer margin, to be honest with you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Then the third quarter hits, and I will say defense, we talk about their defense all the time, and there's a reason for that. You shut out an offense that has at least 2 Division I guys. That's why you deserve to be talked about. And to be fair, you have 1 Division I guy on Lubbock Cooper's defense. You'll probably have another with Kyler Jordan and some more of those guys. And they just have flat-out playmakers. The way that the game turned out was just super exciting in that, you know, like we mentioned and talked about before, you can't just pin, you can say Garrison Smitherman's strip recovery was the catalyst there late in the third quarter. But then after that, you just had guys step up and make plays. And I think the thing that gets overlooked about that third quarter, Ryder had the ball for like 7 minutes. So you can say, okay, well, why didn't Cooper score in third? Well, because they didn't have the ball. Like, you know, they were just consistently moving it. And that, man, that fourth quarter that Cooper put together with 18 unanswered points was just, man, 2-point conversion. I think Chip Darden pretty much sealed his legacy with that call. You know, and Ryland Wilcox, who's been probably like, I would probably put him as maybe their player of the year right now, just because of where he's been, how he's been able to contribute to every side of the ball, including special teams. You know, to run in that 2-point conversion and get it, you know, I'm like you said, we're journalists and we're technically supposed to be unbiased, but like, I think I would have done that with Ryder too. Like, my nerve just started getting like, ooh, is he going to make it? Because you kind of saw the Ryder defenders coming up. Then he kept like cutting toward that sideline, and he just had enough space to get in. 25-24. Kyle Lewis had the interception. Well, first of all, Kobe McKenzie had the sack on second down. Kyle Lewis, interception, third down, game over. What a game.
And here's why that game is so important, because I knew heading into this game, and even throughout, if they lose this game, they're going to get better. Cooper, when you watch those first few games against Coronado and Caprock, they were not the same team as they were right before they had their COVID-19 shutdown. Their offense, you know, their defense has been great basically every game. Their worst game being Coronado, but you know, Coronado is Coronado. For the most part, that defense, no matter how much time's off, no matter what's happened, it's going to travel. It's going to be okay. They're going to be dominant.
Yeah.
The offense started off the season very slow. They were kind of struggling those first couple of games. But then they got into a rhythm by, I'd say about the friendship game on, they got into a rhythm. I truly believe the 2-week COVID-19 shutdown reset the offense. Mm-hmm. Because it looked like against Abilene Wiley, it was 21-15.
Yeah.
If they played 2 weeks earlier, I think they put up 45-plus on that Abilene Wiley team. Then they come into this game, and Ryder's good, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But the fact that they had 7 3/4, the offense, it feels to me like the Cooper offense is a train. It takes a while to get chugging along. It takes a little bit. But once they get going, I'm not going to say they're going to be as good as Cornell, but they're going to be a good offense. They are a good, solid offense. But that COVID-19 shutdown came to a complete halt with the program.
Yep. They had just had that good win over Plainview. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. And now they had, okay, Wiley, and now the first three quarters of right, it felt like that train was getting ramped up again. And I did not think, just following the game, I did not get to go shoot it, but following the game, I was like, okay, they're probably going to lose this, but I'm expecting by next week and then into the playoffs, the offense will be rolling again. Mm-hmm. But it was so important to get that offense mid-game back going, really late third, early fourth, you know, back going to kind of, in my opinion, I still think Cooper's the better team, or at least they're very close, but they stole that game. Like, Ryder should have won that game. If you should not blow a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. I don't care who you're playing or what's happening. 17-point lead, they gave up.
Yeah.
So it was really important for them to show that the offense can play. It was really important to get that district championship. Now they're the one seed, and we all know how playoff position here. Let's be honest. They were probably going to play Ryder again anyway. But to get there, it's a easier, you know, by seed, you're going to play easier teams. And to me, it was just really good to show the belief of you fix the offense. You fixed what was wrong with you. Unlike Coronado, you fixed what was wrong with your offensive side of the ball during the game and got the win out of it. You didn't have to learn your lesson from a loss. You got to learn your lesson from a dramatic win. And now Cooper is set up really, really, really nice to probably play in the quarters again against Ryder, assuming they don't get upset. Right. And then they're back in the state semis like they were last year. And it's pretty crazy with how you've seen Cooper look a couple times this year that they could get to the same point they did last year. But that game, the way it ended, everything they did, and then it showed a lot of that program. And I love aggressive coaches. I love Matt Wells kicking the onside kick. I know a lot of people are going to question that. I liked it. I know a lot of people are not going to like that, but I loved Coach Darden going for two right there. It was even if they didn't get it, it was the right call. They got the win. That's the way you do it. That's how you win championships. That is how you win right there. yeah. is, hey, guys, we could play for overtime. It's like, no, we are stealing this game right here. We are the better team at this point in the game. We're going to go win it. And I loved it.
So you figure, all right, so I think it was, what, like 56 seconds left in the game at that point?
I think 56 sounds right.
Okay, so if you don't get that, let's just say they don't get the two-point conversion. It's a 24-23 football game with 56 seconds left. They would obviously go for the onside kick. Maybe they get it, maybe they don't. But the way that the defense – I'm pretty sure they had all their timeouts. So the way the defense is playing, I think you still give them a chance.
They would have a chance, but the highest percentage chance would definitely be going for two. But, yeah, I don't think the game was necessarily over if they didn't get it. But, I mean, you're hoping you can get a quick three and out, which is possible, but you might not. And then even if you do, the ball's getting punted away. You're probably getting the ball on your own 10 or 20-yard line. And then just to get in field goal range, you got to go 70 yards, you know. So right. That's – it was a very gutsy call, executed to perfection, and really awesome moment for Coach Darden, because I feel like even last year you can make a lot of excuses as far as saying, well, Coach Catwinkle built this. He was obviously a part of it under Coach Cat, you know, you got to give him that. But what can he do on his own? That you got to give that. That win is at least the ultimate two-point conversion, all that. That credit has to go to Coach Darden. It was a really cool moment. With his dad being there, getting his 1,000th win earlier in the week. Just really cool week for the Dardens. And I thought we saw the turning point with Cooper earlier in the year, but I kind of think they got reset with the COVID-19 stoppage. And now I think we've kind of seen them turn the corner for a second time, which honestly might have been – I'm not going to say this for sure. COVID-19 shutdown might have been a blessing in disguise, because what if that offense – had been stopped again and they had to restart in the playoffs. It's a lot tougher to restart in the playoffs where you cannot slip up versus three games to go in the season. So it honestly might've been a blessing in disguise.
That's true. I think the shutdown kind of helped in terms of maybe getting some guys healed up too, because they started the season with some guys on the line not healthy. And I think you kind of saw that, as well as just their offense kind of finding its identity and finding its rhythm. But no, that was just a really good win. I think that's going to be, you talk about wins that you really kind of define a program. And I think that's going to be one that you kind of look at and say like, okay, that kind of is part of Coach Darden's legacy, which, as you mentioned, is almost genetic, because congratulations. I want to say that too. Congratulations to the patriarch, Coach Chuck Darden, who reached his 1,000th win, which is awesome. And then it was really cool because younger brother Matt Darden is on that coaching staff with Cooper. And so they were all on the field together and wrote about them in June. But yeah, so just really, really good win. And then they'll look to finish out the season at Wichita Falls High, which, you know, based on how they played, I don't think it will be a trap game, but it could be. If, you know, your emotions and emotions are just too high after that win over Ryder. And it's a short week because they'll play that on Thursday going on the road. But I think the way that this team is structured, they'll be just fine. I don't think they'll have a problem finishing that out and getting the undefeated district championship, which we also have another team that will be looking to get that undefeated district championship in Coronado. This is kind of, I think, midway through the season, what we were thinking it would come down to is this game with Tascosa. They'll be on the road on Thursday. Like I mentioned, I'll be able to travel to that one. Man, you talk about two different teams playing one another. It's going to be really fun. You know, Tascosa going triple option, Coronado going spread. I'm looking forward to that.
The triple option spread, which I swear we see at least 3 to 4 times a year across levels, whether it's 6A, 5A, 3A, doesn't really matter. I feel like we see that every year. But we've been looking at this matchup all year, and it seems they've both taken taken care of what they needed to get to this matchup. Mm-hmm. But it's only fitting that the district championship is going to come down to this game. And at Tascosa is a great team. We all know what they did in the playoffs last year before dropping down to 5A D1. But Coronado, I mean, you have to like their chances. They are a great team. They are well coached. Their running game has improved, and we already know how they can pass the ball. And I'm just curious, the only thing I don't like in a matchup like this, and this for any matchup with these two types of teams, is the time of possession. If you don't score, if you're Coronado, Tascosa has the ability to milk the clock for 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes. And so that puts more pressure on Sawyer and those guys to, hey, when we go out there, we have to score because we may not get the ball again this half and it's already 14-7, you know. But they have the skill. It's only fitting that it does come down to this. I'm sure Coronado would much rather host Tascosa than go to Tascosa for this district championship this year. But it should be a heck of a game. And I'm really happy it's on a Thursday. I'm really glad it gets its own night to – you know, kind of stand out, and we can figure out who's going to win that district, playoff seeding, all that, because the winner of that game is going to be – I mean, both teams are in great position to make a run in the playoffs and probably play each other again, let's be honest. But you want to get that district championship, and I think it's going to be a very, very important game for both these programs. It's really exciting to see how it's going to play out and see if Coronado is the team that we think they are.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think – I don't know. I just feel like the way that their defense is structured gives them a chance. They've got, like we talked about, Lovett Cooper's defense, but Coronado's defense, I think, sometimes maybe gets overlooked just because of how high-powered their offense is. And I've talked about this before, but just they have playmakers that can do a lot of really, really good things. And I don't know if they've played at all, talked to Coach Parr here today, but I don't know if they've played a team like Tascosa and what they do. So that might be a little different, but you would hope that just because of all the senior leadership that they have, they'd be able to, you know, overcome, make adjustments, do whatever they need to do. Then another cool thing. So Coach Parr got here, I think it was in 2014, I want to say.
That sounds right. I actually do not know exactly when he got here.
I think it's 2014. And so his first quarterback, I think there was already a guy here, but his first quarterback to come through the system was Quay Gray, which yeah. We know about Quay. Senior year was 2017 when they won that district championship. So it would be really interesting, in my opinion, and I don't want to jinx it, knock on any kind of, but you figure, you know, if Sawyer, now a senior, same position Quay was in, can get that district championship, I mean, just the legacy of quarterbacks that can now come through. It seems like, you know, there's now starting that legacy a little bit.
Oh, I think that's firmly established already, even with just the two guys. What they accomplished in high school and what they're going to do in college between Quay and Sawyer, that's impressive. It's kind of unfair to whoever comes next, just like how much.
Shout out to Eric.
Yeah, I know. But having said that, those guys are great talents, don't get me wrong, but Coach Parr knows what he's doing. He can still add to a quarterback and make – so it's not just going to take a great talent. Like, someone can come in with talent and he can make them better. The system will make him better, all those things. But, yes, those guys are individually great talents. Sawyer, regardless of what system he's in, I mean, he's obviously a great player. You know, he's going to do great things. But that Coronado, does it not feel like, regardless of how long he's been there, it feels like – Coach Parr's been there for 20 years, and it's just, this is what Coronado is. Like, this is how they play, this is how they win. And it's just funny, that's a fairly new, not dynasty, you can't call them a dynasty, but that's a fairly new, very successful program, you know, and it's really cool to see everything they're competing. I don't have great patience, so I wish we didn't have coronavirus so that we could already know if Coronado, because they'd also be in the state quarters right now, the regional finals, whatever you call it. And it'd be nice to see where they are. But, you know, we'll get there in due time. But this is the first – not the first. We've had some good games. But this is the first, like, real, real contest when it comes to playoff types. You know, like a playoff game and how deep they're going to go.
Yeah. I would argue that that Ryder-Cooper game kind of gave that same feel. But, like, right on the bigger schools level, we haven't really seen that. Monterey did make it close with Coronado early, it looked like, during that game on Friday, but Coronado ended up doing a lot of things and got that win. Monterey, another program that has really just struggled this year between COVID and, you know, finding the guys, they'll be playing for a playoff spot against Paladuro on Friday. They'll host the Dons. fully expect them to be able to get that win. I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility because they just seem to be kind of that, like, right there on the edge where, you know, they beat the team that they're supposed to, but just can't really get that, like, one big upset. And they've been close. I feel like they were close last year to getting some of those wins, and they were close this year to getting that win over Emerald High. It just kind of got away from them. But I mean, last year they took that fourth seed and ended up upsetting the number one seed, and reached the area round. So, you know, I'm sure Coach Hutch will have his guys ready and, you know, just being able to plan out that big push. They'll get some guys back this week, after having their, falling victim to COVID in that situation, which will definitely help to have some more guys, back and coaches back because they had coaches out as well, and just kind of maybe get back to some kind of just rhythm and getting into their identity and doing what they do.
Monterey has to win this game on a couple different levels. One, as a program, they cannot miss the playoffs this year. I feel like they battled last year to get to that, and yes, you're right, they got that by district, you know, win, and that was big for them. They lost Corion. They lost a lot of talent. So if you can win this year, at least getting the playoffs, if not winning a game, I would count it as a success. Like, with losing that much talent to then come back this year and do something similar, to me, is actually taking a step, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But also, it would mean so much to a program that, like you mentioned, they've been decimated almost as much as anyone in our area, just with the amount of games they've missed, with the way they've been impacted. Even though they won two of the games that they lost with COVID, they lost one, but they won two. But it's still, you don't get to play. Right. You miss three games. Like, regardless of win or lose, that means they're playing a maximum of seven. If you can validate the season where you only played seven games, with now getting to eight, getting to the playoffs, maybe getting a playoff win, to me that masks so much of that. Mm-hmm. If you miss the playoffs, not only is your season cut short, but it's cut short in the way that, well, man, last year we played a playoff game. We don't have that. And we only played seven regular season games. Like, I think it would validate a lot about this team taking a step as a program and missing three games with COVID this year. Like, yeah, playoffs are real. I think they're really, really, really important for Monterey this year.
Yeah, to a certain extent, I would agree with you. But then on the different hand, I think that the battle to be won this season is almost kind of like Lubbock High. It's not going to come on the field. It's going to come,
yes,
relationship and the chemistry of the team. If they can kind of use this situation, even though they do have quite a few seniors, they still have a bunch of guys coming back. If they can use this situation and come together, and I think the coaching staff has done that, just bringing guys together and saying, like, hey, you know what, like, this really sucks, but at the end of the day, we're a family. You know, every team emphasizes that family structure. How do you come together during this time? How do you listen to the guys, you know, hear their frustrations, alleviate some of those frustrations, or at least make them feel heard and seen? And I think once you can do that, you can get some more buy-in, and just have those guys know that, because that's a thing, like, teams are born out of adversity. And I know we talk about adversity, like, you know, like Lubbock Cooper face being down, you know, 24-7, but the fact of the matter is, like, real adversity comes when your teammates are sick and can't play. You know, it comes when the world around you is crashing down outside of the football field. But how do you come together and still say, hey, you know, I still want to play for you. I run through a wall for you. And I think if they can win that and be able to just establish that camaraderie, I think you'll see next season them take that big step.
I completely agree. That's where I meant, taking the step this year. It won't be as obvious, mm-hmm. but I think if you get to the playoffs, that shows that even with the loss of talent, you were still able to get there. Even with coronavirus, you didn't let us stop you. I completely agree. I think Monterey will be set up really well next season, mm-hmm. if they can win this Paladuro game. And you never want to put too much on one game, but it represents so much more. It represents the fight of your program. It represents not letting things get to you. It represents the brotherhood of the team. It represents so many things.
For sure.
To senior night at home, beat a district team, earn a playoff spot, get to the playoffs, maybe get a playoff win. It does represent so much. And I'm sure we'll talk to, you know, Coach Hutch on Thursday. I'm sure he will say something similar, that this playoff win, or this win over Paladuro and getting into the playoffs, would have to mean more than almost any year that he's been at Monterey getting there with everything they've had to face and what it could mean for next year.
Yeah.
Because I know they'll lose guys, obviously, but right. not like they did from this last year. So it would be a really big thing for Monterey to get there. Because I know, yeah, you're right. We always focus on Lubbock High making the playoffs and, you know, what that would mean for the program. And while Monterey was there last year and they make the playoffs more often than not, for this year's team, I think it would mean more than most years to, like, it would. In most years, it's a disappointment if they don't make it. I'm sure they'd be disappointed right. this year, but it's more like there's a big upside to make it other than, well, this is what's expected. I do think it would be a big program builder and more of, I guess, a program addition because they're not – I mean, you know, Coach Hutch has already built something there, but a big program addition to get to the playoffs this year.
Yeah. So they'll be playing at home. I guess that would be senior night for them this Friday at 7:05 p.m. Always have to add that 05. So another jam-packed week. And before we get off, I just want to shout out, like I mentioned, Coach Chuck Darden for getting his 1,000th basketball win all at Shallow Water, which you never hear about someone staying at a program that long. And then also shout out to his not relative, Darden, at Sundown. He won Sundown's 13th state cross-country championship, 7th for the girls, which I thought was ironic because they had just won their 7th straight regional title. So when their 7th state championship is little kismet. But he retired right after they won that one last Tuesday. So just a really exciting Tuesday. I'll be writing about that in my column, which by the time you listen to this should be out on lubbockonline.com.
It's a busy time.
Yeah, I was going to say, just wanted to kind of shout them out. It's definitely been a jam-packed fall season, which is ironic considering, you know, the pandemic going on. But yeah, so good luck to everybody. Congratulations to both Dardens, and please be sure to listen to the second segment. It's a really good one. You don't want to miss. I talked to Trinity Christian coach Kevin Spiller just about the program he's establishing there, what, you know, this past Saturday's win meant to him and all that good stuff. So thank y'all for listening to another edition of the Lone Star Varsity Podcast. And welcome to the second segment of the Lone Star Varsity Podcast. I'm joined by Trinity Christian coach Kevin Spiller. Coach, it's been an exciting year here for the Lions, seems like. You know, you guys win your first playoff game and then go and add another one this past week. How has that just been for you guys?
It's just such an awesome experience for our kids. You know, it's going to really catapult our program to, you know, go to a place we've never been before and just, you know, watching the smiles on the kids' faces and the excitement with the fans. There's just nothing better for a program than winning. And, you know, just watching the live cast over and over and watching, you know, the excitement. And it's just fun time.
I was going to say, I mean, it's even more exciting when you give an undefeated team their first loss and a 14-13 decision. Well, I guess, walk me through that. What was that game like, and what did it take to get that you know, narrow victory?
So we knew they were so talented, undefeated, you know, number one seed. We would have to play a near-perfect game, but control the clock, keep the ball out of their hands, and then we've been playing great defense all year. And so everything went as planned, really. We were able to do the things that we wanted to do, had a few breaks, you know, missing the extra point to win 14-13. But when you get into the playoffs, usually when teams advance deep into the playoffs, usually something happens in your favor a few times. You know, you've got to have breaks go your way. And but it was just the game plan was executed by the kids and the staff, and it's just so rewarding when that comes to fruition.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was that moment like when the clock hit zero and you guys realized you had, you know, picked up a second playoff win?
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody, you know, my brother, he was watching the live cast. You know, first thing, it hits zero, and I find Coach Herford, a defensive coordinator, and just jump up in his arms and wrap around his neck, and just such excitement. I don't know. It's hard to describe a feeling like that. And we've done it, you know, Coach Herford and I texted him Sunday and said, you know, familiar times, because we have upset some number one teams before and advanced to the quarterfinals. We're in the quarterfinals again, but, you know, these kids have an experience in this program, and it's just great for them. And just, I don't know. I think when we talked before, I let you know that one of the reasons I got back into it was for my dad. You know, he passed away. What's ironic is he passed away on November 27th, 2018.
Yeah.
And we win this big game on November 27th. So, it's something that, I'll have that loss, but then I can always, on November 27th, remember this big win as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I know that just so perfect for Dad that we won the biggest game in our program's history, on that day.
Yeah. And, just even considering that, how were you mentally, emotionally, knowing that it was the anniversary coming into the game?
I kind of blocked it out, and I have a watch that my dad wore when he coached me, and I usually carry it with, and I didn't this time, and I just tried to focus on the game, and then after the game is when it was kind of hard to compose myself, but again, it's one of those things that it's not a sad time. It's one of those things though, like I said, that date will now have two meanings. Mm-hmm. that they kind of parallel each other.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, like, did you feel like he was with you during that time a little bit?
I feel that way a lot, especially as it's been several years, 2 years. I feel like he's with me. It's funny. My brother and I talk about this all the time. We feel like we want to pick up the phone and call him, when things like this happen, because that's the first thing we would do. And so that happens all, in the beginning, when you lose a loved one, and, people lose loved ones all the time. It seems like, for a while you remember the tough times and the last days. But now we're starting to remember the good times and the times when we were young and playing football with Dad and coaching with Dad and all those things. And so, I felt, especially this season, I felt like, just he's been there, or, just a positive presence, a positive memory, positive things that have kept me going. Mm-hmm. So.
And was he a coach too?
Yes, he coached me, and I coached with Dad. And like I said, when he was about a week before he died, we had a moment together where we talked, and I told him that I was thinking about going back into coaching. And the thing that Dad always talked about was, in the blink of an eye, live your life and don't wait if there's something that you want to do, because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so when I told him about perhaps going back into coaching and things like that, it really, I could tell that it made him happy. And that was, like I said, the last words he spoke to me before he died was in the blink of an eye. And,
oh, wow.
And yeah, so it's really pretty special.
How did he pass?
He had a form of Parkinson's.
Okay.
And his mind was great. He was so brilliant. But it just attacked his muscles, and he got weaker, and he got to where he's bedridden. And it was hard for him to talk towards the very end. And that last time that I was telling you about that we spoke, he just... it was a whisper, and I'd have to get real close, and we had about probably a 20-30 minute conversation.
Yeah.
And again, those last words, is something that I'll always remember.
Yeah, definitely. So then you go from that, like you said, kind of a tragedy, and then 2 years later, triumph. Mm-hmm. You win that game. Davis Reese had two touchdowns there. Mm-hmm. I think it was 168 yards.
Mm-hmm.
How big has he just been this season for you guys?
Incredible. He's a warrior. I've coached a long time. I've been around a lot of kids, a lot of athletes. He's probably the hardest working athlete that I've coached, and the most unselfish. He'd never played quarterback before. He'd never run the football before. Last spring, we discussed it and said, hey, what do you think about learning the quarterback position? And yes, sir. And he embraced it. And now I think he has over 1,400 yards rushing this season. And, who does that their senior year? Never carried a football before. And then rush for those kind of totals is just phenomenal. It's something that is almost unheard of.
Yeah, and it seems like, last year it was Justin, this year it's Davis. So mm-hmm. just, it seems like that you always have that one guy who just mm-hmm. can take mm-hmm. over for the team.
Right, and that's important. Every year somebody has to step up, and especially in our offense, because it's a ground game, it's not a passing game. And so there's always going to be somebody that can, as my dad used to say, cross stripes, you know, run north and south, and Davis definitely gives us that. And then, you know, adding Marcus Ramon Edwards with his speed has helped. And then we got a new fullback that joined us midseason, Johnny Salazar. And so, you know, and some good – the thing about this season, too, is the more you play – you know, the more practice you get and your young kids get more and more experience. You know, I've got Eli Reeves, who's Davis's brother, who's a freshman, who plays both ways, offense and defense, as a freshman. And then I've got a freshman left tackle that stepped in with some injuries. And, you know, to be winning with such youth on the field at times just really bodes well for the future. And like I said, just playing deep into the playoffs, it's hard to explain what it does for a football program because of the extra time you get to spend with the kids.
Right. And then, you know, before the season we talked about you guys came in with an experienced offensive line, and that was kind of where you felt that you could hang your hat on. How much have they been a factor this season as well?
No, they're really done a great job, and each week we get better. That's what we kept saying. You know, Lubbock Christian is a good football team, but we really felt like we stunk it up. We felt like we played a horrible game, and, you know, I told the kids, you know, I take responsibility for it. We weren't ready. I told them it wouldn't happen again, and we were going to, you know, kind of put a marker in the ground and say, okay, forget about it. Now we're going forward, and each week we get better and better, and, you know, that's we talk about, you know, we're not an easy out. We're the fourth seed. We're the only fourth seed left in the I call it the tournament, in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's 1 and 2 seeds, and then there's Trinity Christian as the fourth seed. But I wouldn't want to play us because, you know, we're kind of the underdogs. We're gelling at the right time. Our kids are starting to believe even more. And so I'm glad we get another opportunity, and you know, we play a great football team in Lake Country. They beat us 21-14 last time we played, and they're extremely talented, but I'm glad we get another chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, is that all a factor as far as kind of getting that revenge, especially in the postseason? You know, of course you want to win during the season, but now, you know, when it quote-unquote counts, how much is that revenge factor kind of motivating
you? Yeah, I don't know about revenge factor, I think, but like you said, it's win or go do something else for the rest of the year as far as football is concerned. And so, you know, we want to advance. We want to keep going. And that's what I'm going to talk to the kids about this afternoon. Okay, we've had a great weekend. You know, we've set, you know, made some history, but that's not enough. Let's focus now. Let's put that behind us and let's focus on getting another one. Yeah. And so, you know, as far as revenge goes, it's, you know, it's there. We have film on them, and we know what to expect, and we feel like we played them tough. And you know, it's. I'm glad to have another chance because, we weren't guaranteed that. And so, go to a nice, beautiful stadium at ACU and get the kids that experience. Yeah, it's all about experiences because I want those kids to take, you know, something with them that they'll never forget. And so, you know, nice stadiums, nice atmospheres, you know, all those things are something that when they get old like me, they'll sit back and remember, hey, remember when we played deep into the playoffs and how we started that tradition? And that's what I tell the seniors, this is your legacy. And so enjoy it, be proud of it, and keep it going.
Without giving away too much, what do you want to do differently this time around?
I think, really, it's hard to say in a sense that, well, I want to play a little better offensively. I didn't feel like we played well offensively. I want to get back on the field now that we have gelled and we figured some things out as a team. You know, since that time, we keep. I feel like getting better, and I guess differently, possess the ball a little bit more than we did, because that's our game plan. You know, we turned the ball over a few times and just, you know, gave up some big plays, turnovers. And so I just want to play a more perfect, you know, we're never perfect, but a cleaner game than we did last time and see what that does for us.
Yeah. Then also, you know, I think we're forgetting this is only your second year here with the program. Mm-hmm, so, you know, what is the key? And then your background is UIL. This is your first time coaching.
Yes,
the
right.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what's the key to just taking those strides so quickly and such big strides?
I think relationships with the kids and trying to show them that, you know, you care about them. You know, I hope that's the case because mm-hmm. I really try to instill in them a family type attitude that we're a family. You know, we're playing Thanksgiving, and I told them I didn't get to go see my family because of COVID-19. I felt like I didn't need to travel because that's what the you know, the people in charge, the experts, if you will, had suggested and had recommended that we not travel. And we're, my family's one that we tend to listen to the people in authority or in expertise. And so all that to say, we didn't travel. We stayed home. It's my wife. My mom lives three blocks from us.
Okay.
And so I didn't get to go see my new grandson that was born in October. I didn't get to see my daughters and my son and my daughter-in-law and all those family members like we usually do on Thanksgiving. So, but I told the kids, the next best thing is I got to spend it with them. You know, they're my family. And so it was great to be on the football field with them. We practiced on Thanksgiving Day. And so I think, to answer your question, I think hopefully it's relationships. It's, you know, that they want to play for you, mm-hmm. if you will. They want to be a part of your program. They care about you, and they want to give you everything that they have. And I feel like that's happened. I feel like that's the reason that we're where we are. I think also the staff works hard. I've got some great coaches that work with us, and I think we're prepared. I think we have some experience, and so all those things I think have allowed us, and we have support. We have an administration that wants us to go to the next level. That's why they hired me, I feel like, is to try to show a commitment to the program, you know, with the new stadium mm-hmm. and all the things, and say, no, we're not just, you know, and this is not, perhaps not fair, I don't know, but it's always, you know, Trinity is a basketball school, and we support, we want to be the best in basketball as soon as football's over.
sure. Yeah.
And so, but I think the commitment to say, you know, we want to be good in football as well, and they've stuck with that and have given me the support and the resources that we need to elevate our program quickly, and I think we're seeing those, you know, the dividends of that.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. And we'll be looking for you on Saturday and hopefully add to some more history Trinity Christian.
Yes, we'll meet today and watch a lot of film, do a lot of teaching in the classroom, and get our bodies healed and ready to go. And tomorrow is when we'll really start laying some tough groundwork and getting ready. And like you said, hopefully we'll get another gold ball.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Coach Spiller, for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoyed it.
And thank you all for listening to another edition of the Lone Star Varsity Podcast.